Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Now today I talked to Abhi Kantanneni. You may know him as a PhD student and researcher at the University of Guelph, or you may know him as an activist and local political thinker. Part of that thinking and advocacy, though, has been generating interactive infographics that help people better understand big groups of data, like, say, the budget for the city of Guelph. $429.5 million is a tough number to wrap your head around, but seeing it on an interactive pinwheel, isn't that more fun? Making data beautiful is the topic of this edition of the Guelph Politicast. Now it's that time again at City Hall, slightly delayed of course because there was that whole municipal election thing a few months back, but the mayor and Guelph's 12 city councilors are about to be called upon to plan and prioritize Guelph's finances for the year ahead. You, the members of the public, will be asked for your feedback too, of course, and some of you will pore over the documents and wonder how much we spent last year on, say, water services, or maybe salaries for Parks and Rec. Say, how much did the city pay in salaries for Parks and Rec last year? Well, let's take a quick look. Oh, look, it was $13.2 million, or 3.6% of the budget. How did I get that number so fast? Well, you can thank Abhi. Abhi Kantanneni, if you just know him from Twitter, is a PhD student at the University of Guelph studying, in his words, energy management in Ontario's social housing sector and its relationship with emerging governance innovations like community energy planning. Before coming to Guelph, he got two Masters of Science degrees from Michigan Tech in computer sciences and physics, and while living in Michigan, he co-founded My Data Labs, which helps nonprofits analyze data, synthesize knowledge, and visualize information, and whose mission is to advance public data literacy, encourage civic engagement, and promote informed decision-making. He was also named one of the top 40 under 40 energy transition leaders by Midwest Energy News. But now, as a proud Guelphite, Abhi has made himself heard on local energy issues, advocating to both City Council and to Guelph Member of Parliament Lloyd Longfield. On the data side, he made a splash during the municipal election campaign with an interactive ward map that collected data on all candidates from both local media advocacy groups and the candidate's own websites, and this even though he wasn't able to vote in our election. After that, he turned his attention to last year's budget, which is a timely topic given that those deliberations start this week. So on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, I talked to Abhi about his interest in municipal data and the differences in how people can learn visually with a graph instead of a spreadsheet. We also discuss how much time and effort he puts into creating those infographs and how those infographs come together in a technical programming way. We also talk about the imperfect way the city shares information, the reasons why City Hall might not be able to do the things he does, and what other datasets he might like to tackle next. So I caught up with Abhi Kantanneni before the holiday break in studio. Abhi Kantanneni, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
We're here to talk about this one of these little projects you do that you seem to enjoy data and city information and politics and things, but you're technically or vocationally speaking, you're doing your PhD here at the U of G in geography. You're doing like computer stuff on the side. You're doing political stuff. Describe for people how these three things intersect into your life. And
well, boy, that's that is a deeply existential question. Let me take a stab at this, right?
Okay. So
I'm an electrical engineer, and I have a master's degree in physics, and I was working on my PhD in computer science at Michigan Tech. And when I, as a part of my project, I was working with the U.S. Army Research Labs on this really beautiful project about how buildings could communicate with other buildings and send energy back and forth and all that. And I lived in a place that had what we now call high energy poverty. So a lot of families that couldn't really heat their homes adequately, and a lot of older people, hard to reach communities and that sort of thing. And I wanted to, you know, I use this often and deepen my sense of belonging with a place through actively participating in local problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem of my community in Michigan, where I lived, was that it was grappling with energy insecurity, energy inequality, energy, you know, and I thought, let me take my skills and talents and apply it to something else. And we started this, you know, this nonprofit group that led the county into the finals of a national energy competition. And I got involved, and it felt really gratifying and satisfying to be involved in a place where I wasn't really born in, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I had only moved there for graduate school.
Mm.
And the University of Guelph saw my work, and they needed someone who had the background in engineering and electrical, you know, that sort of thing, but was willing to and had the aptitude for and the interest in talking to communities and working with communities. And so I moved to Guelph roughly 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so my interests are in energy, and for my PhD, I work with social housing and help building capacity to, you know, to improve energy management in social housing buildings and so on, which is my primary vocation. That's my bread and butter. Right? That's
right.
What pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But as an individual, you know, I like the idea of deepening the sense of belonging with a place and by participating more meaningfully. And having been here for just the last couple of years, I can't vote in Canada, not as yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, what is a positive way in which I can use my skills and abilities to help local citizens in Guelph, be more democratically engaged citizens? And I thought, let me use my data visualization skills, data management skills to put some infographics, put some, you know, tools out there, let people look at it and come to their own and just be better informed.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Were you expecting a 20-second answer?
So, yeah, I try not to expect anything specific.
Right on.
Otherwise, you don't get surprised.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because a lot of people learn visually, and we're talking about things that are very technical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your recent one about the budget. You know, I know reading the actual words on the page and the numbers. when those documents come down, I spend more time on breaking down that stuff than I do, you know, something like a signed bylaw variance or something like that. In your experience, sort of breaking this down, what is the difference to people in terms of when you go to the effort of visualizing a data set versus just like giving them the hard numbers?
Yeah.
What is... In terms of the effect, in terms of how people learn, in your experience, how does that help? That being able to see how it's all the data is all laid out versus just being told it.
That is a fantastic question, because that is what motivated me to create this in the first place. You know, I sit on the boards of a couple of different nonprofit organizations, and a part of my responsibility is looking at budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of us are not accountants, right? for better or for worse. And every time I look at this spreadsheet, my eyes glaze over, Adam. I can't, you know, and it's difficult enough when you're looking at your own personal budget.
Yeah.
Now, when you're looking at an organization, especially something like the city of Guelph, we're dealing with almost $500 million, you know, in money. There's, you know, one level, which is the service area, broadly, where are we spending our money? Infrastructure or, you know, local boards and stuff like that. And then it's further broken down into the specific departments. And there could be 8 or 9 departments within a certain service area. And within each department, the line items are spread, you know, 7 or 8 different line items.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a page and it's full of numbers, your eyes, what your eyes are really looking for an average person, is... what actionable insights am I getting out of this? What do I need to know?
Right.
What I want to know is my city prioritizing our money, tax dollar money, in a way that aligns with my values or my visions, the way that I want the city to do, right? So that's what you're trying to get out of it.
Right.
But your brain gets lost in the numbers and the columns and the words.
Yeah.
You know, indirect costs. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Like, you know, by the time you're trying to figure all this out, you lose interest.
Yeah.
and B, you lose insight, mm-hmm. and you're left with just feeling frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was, let me strip out all of that, clunky language around it, which is useful for people who need to sit on the boards, for counselors who have experience dealing with that. For an average person, what they want to know is, how much do we spend on transit?
Right.
How much do we spend on police services? How much does my city spend on X, Y, and Z? And knowing that will give me more information that I can then take to my counselors, then take to my, you know, community leaders and say, this is not enough, or this is too much, or why are we doing it this way?
Right.
And so I just wanted people to be able to get to the insight quicker in a way that would lead them to be more curious about this and learn more about the processes that drive a city.
We obviously can't show people, this is audio, but if we visualize it, it's three circles. The mm-hmm. innermost circle is the different areas, local boards, services.
It's the big category.
The big categories. Areas. And then as you go further out, mm-hmm. you get into the various splits, like public transit. And then in public transit, you get salaries and benefits and on. As examples. I guess what I'm wondering is the design aspect to this. How do you come up with... How do you go from, I need to present this information, to this is how I present it? Or is this like sort of standardized? Is this something that, you know, maybe we should be thinking, you know, maybe we should produce this every year, and it's an easy way to sort of visualize
things. That's a very good question. A lot of this comes from just trial and error.
Mm.
First, I experimented with what are called tree maps,
okay.
which is basically you take a big square, and you put smaller squares to say, okay, here's service area, is it this percent. So you get a visual. And then once you click on, then you drill down into the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You drill down to the next level, right? So what that does is, that would be useful if what you're trying to do is representing each level in proportion to itself. So what percentage of my total budget is local boards?
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you a quick visual summary. Once you go into local boards, it'll say, then you'll know what percentage of my local boards goes to, let's say, the police board, for example. And so you get insights at those levels. And that worked for me. Initially, I thought, you know, this is cool, this is great. But then I challenged myself to say, how can I incorporate all of this into one? So that not only am I getting an insight into each proportion within each level, but across the whole thing, I want in one page,
mm-hmm.
I want to be able to see, touch, and feel every aspect of the budget. And so I went and looked at a couple of different examples. And so this, I wish everyone in Guelph listened to this show, but except for my advisor, because he'd be upset if he knew how much time I spent on this. It took me a lot of time to learn
mm-hmm.
The technical skills to be able to produce this kind of graph, and the colors too. I wanted them to be accessible in as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
while also showing a diversity of colors and all that. So
mm-hmm.
it was a lot of work, but I look at the statistics, and a lot of people are using it. And a lot of people now are more interested in the budget than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of this is there's a science to it.
Right.
Because, you know, there's things like do not use 3D pie charts. Because, you know, when the bottom of the 3D pie chart is pointed at you, that looks bigger.
Right.
Than a flat 2D, right? It's better to use donut circles, as they call it, than pie charts, because circles are a bigger area than the proportional percentage. You see what I mean? So because it's pi r squared, it's a bigger area. Bar charts are better. So there's some science behind how to appropriately represent information, but that is also combined with some art as well. So it's part science, part art, and all heart, if you will.
It's. I mean, you're kind of alluding to it took you a while. How long?
So I actually began, I wanted to do this last year when the budget came out,
mm-hmm.
But the budget was in a PDF.
Yeah.
It wasn't in an Excel spreadsheet. So
okay.
I would have had to manually input every single data and convert it into a spreadsheet that I could use.
Uh-huh.
And I just tried spending a couple of hours doing it, but I lost interest.
Who has that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, right. But then recently what happened was the city actually did, in my view, a really good job of making more and more data available through the open data platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for things to, you know, visualize, and I saw that they had uploaded last year's budget, the 2018 budget,
mm-hmm.
in a format that was relatively simpler to use than the PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I had that data in my hand, it took me a better part of 2 days to put it in this format, to learn how to do put it in this format.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 1 day to put it in a format that I was using before with the tree maps I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's 3 days.
Well, that's not... I don't know anything about this, but 3 days doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah,
I spent 3 days building, 3 weeks, no, more than 3 years building the new Politico site. So it's.
I understand. It's. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, right? 3 days is not a big deal. But,
right.
You know, the clock is ticking, and we all live finite lives. to what extent can you and I?
Yeah.
Spend our time on passion projects.
Sure.
That may or may not lead to, you know, some sort of a compensation, right? And I know that word is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I look at it is that I get a lot of emotional fulfillment out of this, as I'm sure you do, doing the show for free.
Well, trying to change that, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if I sat down and said, "Oh, 3 days, and how many billable hours is it?" No, my God, if I'd spent that time doing consulting or something else,
because
there are people who I've been approached by a bunch of different people who want me to produce similar things for them. And if I'd spent the time doing that, then, you know, so, but end of the day, right, when you go to bed at night, when mm-hmm. I go to bed at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go back feeling like I've done a good job,
right,
representing the community and doing something, giving back. My wife and I, we've lived here for 2 years. I've got maybe another couple of years left on my PhD.
Mm.
Who knows how long we'll stay in Guelph,
right?
But when I leave, I want people to be like, you know what, that RBK was kind of nice. Oh, we miss him, right? To leave Guelph in a slightly better position or situation than I found it when I came in.
I hear you. I do wonder... Part of this is the technical aspect. You know, the city had to actually make or deliver the data in a way that you could then use it to do this. And I'm wondering, from your experience and your expertise, and, you know, the city is pretty far ahead in terms of the idea of open data. But I feel like, just as someone who's more to the side of the layman than you
mm-hmm.
when it comes to computer things, that the city, and I've talked to this to a lot of people, like the city's website is not exactly what I would call user friendly. And I just feel like you're a bit ahead of the curve on this,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you managed to take these things that it just kind of feels like a dump, not that they're dumping it per se, but just that information is there, but someone like you comes along and makes it usable
mm-hmm.
in a way that I can appreciate, or in the way that, you know, people who aren't reading council agendas
yep.
can appreciate.
I actually sat down with some Guelph city staff when I first moved here and to ask them about the open data platform, because I think if I'm remembering correctly, the city had spent a lot of effort in setting up the platform,
mm-hmm.
but in my view, the platform at that time wasn't populated with enough data.
Right.
When you compare it to cities like Toronto or, you know, a bunch of other things, it wasn't it did not maximize its full potential.
Right.
And I think it's a couple of years ago, so take all of this with a grain of salt. Things might have changed, but it was that, you know, there really wasn't a mandate within the city to make specific data, open data.
Right.
There wasn't an open data team, for example. Right. So teams were out of their own interest, were putting data out there for people to consume. And I think it's a bit of like an iterative cyclical process. You know, if you're a city staff, you put data out there, no one is using it. Next time around, do you really feel like, you know, going through if it's not a part of your mandate, it's not a part of your work plan? I can understand why it might not be populated. So part of my goal too is to take what data city has already put out and to create things like this out of it in a way that city staff feel like their work is being multiplied.
right,
in creating value. And I think that's a good relationship to have. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a few people, and you know, every time I put something out like this, people ask me, why doesn't the city do this?
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's a fair question. And I think that city doesn't have to do it.
No.
I think the city is I think if the city focused on putting more and more data out there, I think people like myself and people who have a passion in this and interest in this can work with them.
Right.
To create stuff for the communities. And there's, you know, ways that we can partner formally or informally. But I think this, if the city, if I had to, like, you know, divide this and say who does what,
right,
I would like the city to make more data available. Transit data, for example, you know, we all pay for it. And wouldn't it be nice to see the heartbeat of a city,
yeah, right,
where people get on every day? I visualize through the day. That's the lifeline of a city, right? I can hear that. I can see that in my eyes. And if we had that kind of transit data public available, Toronto makes this available. There's no, you know, how many people get up in a particular stop and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. this is data that the city already has, but we haven't really gotten around to making that publicly available. A part of that is that I don't think there's ever been a demand.
Right.
There's never been like in a way that it's been put to really good use. And that's what I'm hoping to change, is what people really like this stuff. So maybe I can sit down with council or someone and ask to see to give staff a mandate to make more data available. That's part of what I'm hoping to do.
Right. Because I feel like one of the biggest barriers to people getting involved is the, you know, a report can be written and included in the council agenda, but of course, because of, you know, the things that are being decided, it's written in this legalese, it's written in this kind of code. You know, acronyms use references to reports and not necessarily hyperlinked back. You know, things have been in the pipe for years and years and years, and it only feels like you ever get half the story, because half of it is understanding the history, half of it is understanding the language, yeah, it's written in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what things like what you've done do is take out that, I guess, take out that barrier. You know, because you've put in the time and effort to understand that, but you've managed to present it in a way that you don't have to be, as you said, an accountant to get, or even, you know, the election map you did,
mm-hmm,
where it's just this one. And of course, you know, you have, we're talking about an election, you included like a lot of the coverage, and you know, you links to Politico pages, links to Guelph Today and the Mercury and all that, and maybe outside of the expectation to think that the clerk's office would do something like that, but something like that again makes, you know, I want to find out more about who's running in my ward,
yep,
and then it just, you know, you go that one stop.
I got a lot of emails and positive feedback on that one, both,
yeah,
from candidates, which, you know, I'm definitely thankful for, but a lot of voters too. They said, I really couldn't wrap my head around,
mm-hmm,
how many people in some wards, like Ward 1, there were 8-9 people running,
yeah,
I remember.
Yep.
And your, you know, your questionnaire was really good. It had a lot of information. I know my wife used it to make her decision when she went to vote. And part of what I was trying to do was, most people don't know,
mm-hmm,
what ward they live in, even.
Mm.
Right? And mm-hmm, that's where you need to begin.
Right.
By the time someone gets to your page,
yeah,
I would say they're an advanced voter, because they
right,
already know that they want to vote. They know who the candidates are.
That's a great point.
And they know where to go to get more information.
Yeah.
How do I communicate to most people in my life, frankly,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
who don't know what ward they live in, don't know when the election is even, and are trying to make a decision they within, you know, half an hour time spot? So I said, I thought, you know, so the map came out of an effort to try to consolidate all of this information in one place. And every time I put something out like this, I learn something new,
mm-hmm,
about how to develop and improve these tools, right? So it's, I'm improving my skills,
mm-hmm,
at the same time where I'm putting this out. And it makes me really happy to participate in that way,
mm-hmm,
in my new home in
right,
Guelph now.
It's so interesting to even the city's own sort of elections website,
mm-hmm,
assumes you know what ward you're in. But and I guess maybe it's a way of looking at things, and Since I spend, you know, every Monday, every week at City Council, I guess I'm part of that culture now too, where I assume people know who their councilors are, what their ward is. But of course, the city's steeped in that culture too, because, you know, they know who represents what, and maybe that should be the first thing we're thinking about. You know, the election website in 2022 is like the homepage. When you go to Guelph.ca/vote, should be member of the city. And where do I live? Well, I know I live over here, so that means I live in Ward 4, and you can click on Ward 1, and away you go. It's interesting to think about this from the outside perspective.
You and I are neck deep in this, right?
Right.
Like, if I asked you, you'd probably recite all the 39, 40 people who ran for election in which ward. And,
maybe not in alphabetical order, but I probably could.
But most people are not.
Yeah.
Like you and me, Adam, you'd be shocked to know.
What?
So it's interesting that you say about the city data, because the other thing about the cities is that they only use the information that candidates filled in when they filled out the form.
Mm-hmm.
And most candidates do not have their social media pages set up.
Right.
They don't have their website set up. They don't even list their phone number and contact information. I got all of that from your questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
And so, because by the time they get to filling out your questionnaire, it's closer to the election, and they've got their, machinery set up. They've got their social media account set up.
Interesting.
So if someone actually was going to the city's website and figured out what ward they were living in, they still wouldn't have adequate information, because that page is not updated after the last date after which people turn in their applications. And that's 4 months before the election.
Huh.
And so it's not current information. And you would have to Google someone's names, get to their website. Think about the journey and discovery process, right?
Well, think about someone with an ordinary name like, you know, Dan Gibson or Barbara Mann, which there are more than a few.
Oh, for sure. And by the time, at every step of the way, you're adding more complexity and you're adding more reasons. So we call this, in computer science, you call this the funnel effect.
Mm-hmm.
So at each level, more and more people drop off. So by the time you get to the end, only 2% of people have figured out who's running in their ward.
Right.
And so, and the other aspect of this was too that school board candidates.
Uh-huh.
Not many people know that they can work for school boards, people who don't have kids. I didn't know.
Yeah.
My first version of the map didn't have school board candidates because I couldn't figure out technically how to fit it in. And then a couple of school board candidates emailed me and said, hey man, look, we are already being left out of a lot of debates.
Oh, that's why I started doing candidate questionnaires for the school board, is because, you know, that they were making the point, like, this is still important, too. And I was like, yeah, this is important.
Right. I want to give you another shout-out, too, because I'm just remembering another inspiration for me for creating this budget thing came out of your questionnaire where you asked candidates if you had to cut one service.
Right.
Which one would you cut? And I thought that was an illuminating question, because a lot of them gave some very bold answers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them copped out. They said, I would cut everything equally. I mean, that's not a real answer.
Right.
So I thought, okay, budgets is an important issue for a lot of people one way or the other. So let me put some more effort into making that come to life.
Right. And that's where you sort of see it, because it's one thing to say, I want to cut, I don't know, Parks and Rec. I mean, the reality is you probably wouldn't want to cut Parks and Rec, but just to pull something out of thin air. But the other thing that I appreciate in the way that the graph visualizes it, it makes you realize how much of the budget is just the people.
Yep.
And so when you talk about cutting, you're usually talking about cutting people. Because you can cut like the toner budget or the office supply budget, but it's this little hatch.
Little sliver.
on the outer ring.
You probably don't even notice it.
Yeah. Right?
When you go hover over this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. So for people who are following this along, so what I did before our interview today is, if people want to see all Guelph-related infographics that I've done, they can go to tinyurl.com/Guelph-by-the-numbers. And that will take you to the section of my website where all the visualizations that I've done in relation to Guelph, including the budget and the map, they're on there. So if you want to follow along with this discussion, maybe that might be, that could help.
I love how prepared you are. You've talked about maybe doing, if you had the transit data, you would do something like with that. So, you know, where else can you take this?
You know, with the transit data or in
or with any data.
Oh man, you know, I'd like to see new business registrations.
Oh yeah.
Right? Where is it booming? Where are people registering? Where you know, and that sort of thing. I'd like to see average property values in neighborhoods and how they're changing over time, right? I want to be able to, I want to position myself in a place where people can tell me, hey, Abhi, I want to know this about our city.
Mm-hmm.
How can we bring that to life?
Mm-hmm.
And I work together with teams. So I have the technical skills and I have, you know, certain visions of what I think people want to see, and so far it's panned out.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are specific things that we want to dig into, I'd be really interested in doing that. One thing I'm really interested in is looking at water use. How much water do different entities in the city consume? How much does the municipality consume? I know that the city has done a lot of work on water conservation and that sort of thing. And we have in this city, we have a lot of energy around water use and who's using how much water, should they, shouldn't they.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at what the numbers on that look like, because that, I think, will inform us on, because I'm yet to see, imagine this budget like graph, but for water.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that.
Mm.
I can't picture it. I don't know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, would inform the extent to which I participate in certain discussions around water use in the city. So that's one example.
Right.
Transit is another example. I've always said that you can look at the transit map of a city and it'll tell you about what that city values. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see a single line going from north end to south end and that's it, well, that tells you something about a city.
Right.
If you see a hub and spoke system with the restaurants and stuff on the outer edge, and you know, that tells you something about the city. I'd like to look at what Guelph's heartbeat looks like with the transit. So there's man, I don't know how much you. If you have days, I can go on and on. But my quick summary would be that I am interested in using data as a tool to tell the story about Guelph and help people connect better with Guelph. And anyone who's out there who's got data, who wants to sit down with something specific, city staff, counselors, anyone, I'd be more than happy to work with them.
Well, there you have it. Abhi's open for business.
Yeah, and man, okay, so this is, I don't, you know, I'm a graduate student, I'm an academic, and my PhD is largely funded by taxpayers. And so the way I think of myself as an academic is that I feel that I have a greater responsibility to the community that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that I feel that universities should take that up. And I know the University of Guelph does some of that, and we have improved lives as our motto.
Yeah.
But I think as a personal individual responsibility, I see my role in this city as someone who helps the city be a better version of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say I'm open for business, you don't have to call me and, you know, pay me $30 an hour. just come chat with me, and then we'll see how, you know, and if the data is interesting enough and some project that I'm passionate about, we can work together.
All right. You're a gentleman and a scholar, Abhi.
Oh, thanks a lot, Adam. let's see. Look, I want to tell you this too, Adam. All that you do for the city in terms of, you know, with all your interviews, and especially around election season, sitting through hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of council meetings, tweeting them all out and stuff like that, you provide an exceptional value to the city, and the city wouldn't be nearly as fun and as engaging for me if it wasn't for you going out there doing your stuff too.
Oh,
okay, so I want you to be
appreciate that. Thank you.
Appreciate it, and I want to thank you for all the services that you've received. And I know for a fact that this is, we can talk off air about your business models and how you want to change all of that. But I know that you're not in this for the money.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I think, you know, you and I, we share a lot in common, right?
Yeah. You're a better dresser than I am.
I just got back from Ottawa, so
yeah,
this is not how I usually dress.
All right, Abhi, you keep on graphing it, and I'll keep on tweeting it.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Abhi Kantamneni. You can find more about his work, political and academic, by checking out his website at abhilashkantamneni.com/portfolio, and that includes his budget infograph. If you'd like to interact with Abby, you can find him on Twitter at AKANTAMN. And of course, the 2019 budget process for the City of Guelph starts this week with a meeting on Thursday, January 10 at 6 p.m. And you can find all appropriate links over at the show notes page on Guelph Politico. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics. It's Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. You can go to Guelph Politico's Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph by donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.